Good evening, everybody. I want to call the 2019 annual meeting of the Arrowhead Bell Association to order. I know many of you came tonight to listen to George Coleman perform again, as he has been known to do very respectfully. Unfortunately, the George Coleman show is on hiatus, so he is here, and we'll have an opportunity to respond to any questions later on that fit into his world. Thanks, George, for coming. It's difficult to follow George in a prior year meeting. Dan Gallagher, our president, is also not here in person tonight. He is on the phone. So you're left with me. I'm Randy Smith. I'm the vice president of the ABA board. I'm going to call on Meg Walsh, who's going to start by describing the purpose of tonight's meeting.
Thank you.
Just hold it.
Okay. As Randy said, I'm Meg Welch. I'm an attorney at Ware Travers Perkins here in town. We are legal counsel to the association. You are all here tonight for the annual meeting of the members of the association, which is organized as a nonprofit corporation under the laws of the state of Colorado, and also in accordance with your governing documents like the Declaration of Covenants, which are recorded against each of your properties. The association is governed by a board of directors, two of whom will be elected tonight. And then you also have your metro district, which provides certain functions like road maintenance and management certain community facilities. The association's functions are generally to provide sign review, covenant enforcement, and you have your board of directors to govern that process, and there's the decision-making body for the association, but there are certain actions reserved to the members and owners, and we will take up two of those tonight. That is the election of your directors and the ratification of your budget. So the budget will be deemed ratified, provided that there isn't a vote to reject it tonight. And then as far as the election is concerned, you're all provided with a proxy in advance of the meeting. The proxy will also serve as your ballot. So if you have completed and submitted that before the meeting, you don't need to do anything further. If you haven't completed a ballot, you can see Carol, I think, for a copy. And we will address the results at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Turn it back over to you.
Carol, do we have a quorum present by a person or
five? Based on the information that Carol provided to my office, you do have a quorum tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Meg. I'll leave that one there.
Okay.
And I'll hold on to this one. I'd like to make a quick introduction of your board of directors that are here this evening. Janice Hollingsworth, Kim Groff, George Bigley are here to participate in our question and answer period that will occur a little bit later this evening. I'd like to at least publicly express my and the rest of the board's appreciation and our homeowners' appreciation to Kathy Bennett and to Dan Gallagher for their service over the past 3 years, and particularly for Dan and his leadership and commitment that was demonstrated as he served his term of president this year. I'd also like to introduce you to some of our staff members who are here tonight that you may not know, so that if they speak later, you'll understand their particular role. First is, get my order here. First is Mike Trueblood in the back. Mike is the senior director of Beaver Creek Village Operations. Jerry Hensel is the association manager. Carol. Floyd is the association administrator. We have John Herbert, his back, director of public safety here in Arrowhead, and then Toby Kenny sitting beside him who runs Beaver Creek of Public Safety. So we appreciate all of you guys giving us some of your time this evening to be here. Also present is Bob Schaefer, president of the Arrowhead Metro District. He's going to be talking a little bit later. We also have Nadia Guerrero, who's vice president and COO of Beaver Creek Mountain, along with Mike Shimano.
Gary.
Gary Shimano.
Mike Trueblood.
vice president of Beaver Creek Mountain Operations. Nobody will have any questions for Gary today. The minutes of the December 29th, 2018 annual meeting have been distributed. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes as presented and a second? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Next, you want to announce the specific candidates for election today?
Still needs to get a ballot completed. It doesn't look like there are any in that.
Yeah,
okay. Anybody need a ballot?
Yes.
Do we have our name to submit a ballot?
Yeah. Right. It probably won't come as much of a surprise, though, that we had already collected most of the election results before the meeting tonight. And so you have Mary Pat Rapp, who ran unopposed except for one write-in vote. Thank you. And has been elected as the at-large director. And Mark Noble has received sufficient votes to be appointed as the low-density director. There was also one write-in there as well.
Great.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to both of you. Look forward to you guys serving your community. Nadia. I invite Nadia up and Gary with her at the appropriate time for some comments. I would tell you folks that when Nadia got on board, everybody was excited. I think you all know she came from North Star. I'm not going to steal her thunder here. But she was very present at our 4th of July picnic, and it was great to see her there, and it's been great with the conversations and discussions that we've had since her arrival. Nadia?
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
And thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me to your meeting this evening. As I've mentioned, yes, I'm just going to leave a little bit of background about myself. I'm going to talk a little bit about Beaver Creek, but I'm going to talk, I'm going to let Gary talk mostly about kind of the ins and outs and details around mountain operations as it relates to this season in particular, because that's what you probably are all interested in. But I did spend the last 12 seasons at North Star, the most recent three as the general manager of that resort. Is located in Lake Tahoe on the north side of the lake, and so I've spent kind of the last, I guess, 19 years or so living in California and Nevada, which was awesome. I was there, it started in 2007, so I was there as part of the Ski Resort, which some of you may be familiar with as it has some, Food Creek has some roots here in the Vail Valley. And then when I was given the opportunity to come to this amazing resort, I jumped, of course, and said yes, yes, yes. And, you know, part of that is because I've got some Colorado roots. I was raised in Boulder, Colorado. I grew up in Boulder and learned to ski at Eldora. And so spent a lot of time in Colorado, obviously, growing up, and some college time as well. And left in 2000, and like I said, was gone for about 19 years. My parents still live on the Front Range, so really great opportunity to be closer. And as you can see, I've got my daughter in tow this evening, so she gets to be closer to her grandparents and vice versa, which is always nice. And I'm thrilled to be here at Beaver Creek. I think, you know, the resort, Beaver Creek, Bachelor Gulch, Arrowhead, where we are right now, strong reputation for a world-class resort. And I know in the past you've heard Beth talk about world's best luxury family resort and the ways that we work hard to achieve that through our legendary attention to detail, being perpetual hosts, and offering rarefied experiences. And that's the path we continue to be on. We are continuing going in that direction. We are continued focused on our net promoter score goal of 80. And we will do everything we can this season to achieve that. So we are proud to raise early again this season, which you know is a great. grazing. We got so much snow in October, which Gary will talk about a little bit more. Not as much in November, and definitely some warmer temps. So that 4-day early opening was really, I think, a great achievement by our teams, and really a big nod to how hard they've been working. They had been working, and they continue to work. And so I think we're off to a great start. We will build on the success of Hay Meadow Park and our ice cream parlor as we start planning and looking at the finer details of working with our friends at the Forest Service, our partners at the Forest Service, to implement McCoy Park, which will be a really amazing 250-acre expansion for next season, beginning in 2021. Are you going to talk about some of those details? We are on track for McCoy Park. As you all know, we received our approvals. We just actually this week met with the Forest Service again, and we're starting to put plans in place. There's a lot of variables out there in that special, pristine, beautiful sanctuary, and we want to make sure that we are good stewards of the land and we protect this beautiful gem that we've been given to take care of. So we're spending a lot of time planning out there and really looking forward to a robust and concentrated construction season once the elk closure lifts in July 1st. So again, thank you for having me here. Thank you for welcoming me to Beaver Creek, to your mountains, here in Arrowhead, and to your meeting this evening.
Patty and Gary want to take some questions. After Gary's finished speaking,
we'll
move on to the rest of the
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. So we had a busy summer construction-wise here. Our one biggest project was probably the Red Buffalo Park snowmaking project. I know many of you like to ski up in Red Buffalo Park. And what we did was we extended the snowmaking line from Spruce Saddle up to the bottom of the Red Buffalo Park Express Lift. And then at the very top of the mountain where we didn't have snowmaking, we ran another small line up to patrol headquarters by the 50 cabin. So that really ensures our opening at Beaver Creek. We always advertise it the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and like Nadia said, we were able to open a little bit earlier, 4 days earlier this year, like we did last year. And this year we opened with Gold Dust, and then 4 days later on our scheduled opening day on the 27th, we were able to open top to bottom 3,340 vertical feet, which really puts Beaver Creek at a competitive advantage with everybody else. That's the most vertical open. You know, it gets that exposure out, it creates that demand, and it drives that net promoter score like Nadia talked about. So that was our biggest project. We did a bunch of forest health projects. We cut down about 1,200 standing dead left over from the beetle pine epidemic of the late 90s and early 2000s. So a lot of that happened on Bitterroot, in between Bitterroot and Stacker, above Intertwine. So if you go ski past that tree line, you'll see it opened it up. There's actually good ski lines in there now that you can ski through there and onto Intertwine. And, of course, of those 1,200 logs that we took out, we created about 60 new trail signs, those SK1s and SK2s, what we call them. So it's a great environmental story, you know, recycling the trees, making the trail signs, and we do that every year. Also, we were working on your favorite trail right out here, the Duke Trail. I've gotten a lot of great feedback. Mountain bikers, hikers, we finished kind of that loop up to tie it into Village to Village. And I think that was a real plus. That was a collaborative effort between everyone. And I think it turned out really, really well. So that was great. So that was our summer construction. And then we rolled into October. October was a great month. We had 42 inches of snow, which I was looking back at the last 5 years. So 42 inches of October this year, 13 last year, 0 in 17, 0 in 16, 7 in 15. So that was awesome. But then, as you know, the first 3 weeks in November, it warmed up. It didn't snow as much. We got 31 inches in November compared to 42 inches last year. Our drought year of 17, you guys remember that one. That was, we only got 15 inches there. And then 33 inches in 06, in 16, 59 inches in 15. So that was the second lowest snow totals in November in the last 5 years. And then December, so till the 21st in December, we had 34 inches, 38 inches last year, 10 inches in the drought year in 17, and then back in 2016, 58 inches. So, yes, we're at 107 inches total, but a lot of it came in October, a lot of it got warm, we lost a lot of snowmaking, we lost a lot of natural snow. So on the progression wise, you know, even though we opened, we had a good Birds of Prey event. It was a little slower than I had hoped, ramping back up and getting Arrowhead open. You know, over the last 4 years, I look back at that date as well, and we've averaged opening Arrowhead. It was between the 15th of December and the 27th of December the last 5 years. So the 21st, it's kind of right in the ballpark there. And we don't advertise that. Generally, when Arrowhead opens, we always shoot for that middle of December. And then looking forward, it was good. We opened today. We have the upper part of Little Brave down to lower Golden Bear because we still have snowmaking piles in the chicane, our favorite part of Little Brave. So I wanted those to sit an extra day for drier snow so it won't be as icy, hopefully, when we dose that out. So we're looking for tomorrow, the next day, to have Little Brave, lower Golden Bear, and then snowmaking-wise, we're moving to Cresta, on lower Cresta, and have that done. And we're actually going to try to chill out Golden Bear. We track-packed it. So our natural snow, it may ski tomorrow. We'll see. I'm going to get up early and take a look at that. So if it skis, we'll open that up as well. So looking forward to the season. It's been good. And I'm sure you guys have questions. So I always like to entertain any questions.
Yeah. Questions for Nadia or Gary? Sometimes called Mike.
Mike. Actually, I'm supposed to be named Mike. My dad wanted to name me Mike, but my cousin's Mike, so we didn't want to have two Mikes.
Okay, first question. Just so people on the phone can hear me.
Generally speaking, how far ahead can you predict the opening of Arrowhead?
A week. And that's what we said. We had out, you know, we... When I knew it wasn't going to happen on, like, that last weekend, because last week when we just got the interconnect to Bachelor Gulch open, so, you know, sure, we could have, you know, not done the interconnect and came over to Arrowhead earlier, but then we'd have Arrowhead's a bowl, Bachelor Gulch is a bowl, no one could ski over to Beaver Creek and get up to Red Buffalo Park. So, you know, to drive that guest experience, you want that interconnect first, then Arrowhead, then to ski to Bachelor Gulch, and then back to Beaver Creek, and having it so you can ski back, so... We have that now, and it should be good for the, you know, remainder.
The issue is how far ahead can you predict it for marketing, you know, so that people that are looking at the website can tell, well, you know, Arrowhead's going to open on the 21st, you know, that apparently a week ahead or maybe 2 weeks.
Right. It's a lot of it's snowmaking and weather dependent, but I think a week is generally, you know, I give Nadia a week in advance, like I give her a Sunday update every week, telling her for the next 7 days, and it's been, yeah, pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate, yeah. I mean, it's about a week, and it's always sort of, like, subject to what happens that week, you know. I mean, I think there's been at least two or three storms so far that haven't quite materialized, you know, within that seven-day window, which is a little disappointing, of course, but, yeah, I mean, I think a week is reasonable, give or take.
Yeah, like during World Cup week, we saw more favorable temperatures than it had, and I thought we could have Redtail and Dally so we could have ski and access to the race and then ski out, but it just didn't materialize. Every time I saw it, it was going to be 15, and it ended up being like 25.
Thank you.
Two things. First, yesterday I walked the Ute Trail, so thank you very much. It's fantastic. And second, what's the date again for Cresta you're shooting for?
The upper part actually can ski. So if you live on Trailside, we had a homeowner access gate there. So you could ski down Cresta to Wampum, ski in. We didn't have ski out, but at least we had ski in. And then we were going to start snowmaking on that. We wanted to start tonight if it gets cold and start on the part below the upper part of Wampum down through the flats of Cresta by Cresta Townhomes. And then hopefully, you know, a couple, 2 days of snowmaking there. If we have enough, then get that open for our busiest days on December 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th.
George.
Thank you. George Coleman, 62 Castle Peak Close. I tying into what the gentleman just brought up and also things that you brought up earlier, the U-Trail collaboration with Vail and the ABA board instigated by, not initiated, I won't say instigated, initiated by the ABA board and going back quite a ways, well before any of us, or maybe George was here, on the board with Doug Sewell leading that. Again, partnership, collaboration. And to that end, with regard to McCoy Park, this board was very active and it was engaged by writing a letter of support to the Forest Service for McCoy Park to open. The partnership is ongoing, and we are very appreciative of that. And we're also very appreciative of the terrific colleagues that you have working with ABA. Everyone who was introduced to the gathering tonight has always been there and been responsive to our board and, more significantly, to our community. And for that, I wanted you to hear that, Nadia, and I wanted to thank you and your leadership.
See, I told you George was going to participate actively tonight.
Any more questions,
George?
For Gregor?
I think it can't be highlighted enough about the power of partnership, right? Especially in building trails and things. I actually, I got to ride that trail on my mountain bike near the end of the summer. One of my amazing team members took me out there, and it's world class. That isn't a great trail. It's awesome. The views are amazing. The variations in it from landscape is just, it's a gem. You all have a lot to be proud of with that.
We also looked at the acreage report today. We had 1,411 acres open today. And then a year ago at this time, it was 1,432. So virtually the same. So for people to think we didn't have a lot of terrain open, it's really almost identical to last year. And just to proactively say, we've heard some scuttlebutt that, well, there's not enough terrain open, you don't have enough employees, what's going on? I would say that's not the case. We opened up every single lift today on the 21st, so all the lifts at Beaver Creek are open. We have a full complement of lift operators, groomers, snowmakers, ski patrol, all the maintenance staff, so very typical staffing levels for Mountain Ops this year as compared to years past. So I know there's a rumor out there, I've been talking to some club members, I know there's been chat at the Alpine Club, so I just want to kind of dispel that rumor. No, we didn't. There's an article in the newspaper about us centralizing our operations for HR, for finance and marketing in Broomfield, but that had nothing, that doesn't have anything to do with like staffing or anything like that.
How many of you are out skiing today? Yeah? Good.
I rode the lift with George.
Yeah, the conditions were...
Yeah, our staff works, they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from middle of October, before we open the resort, all the way till we close April 12th. So every single day, 24 hours a day, we have Mountain Ops staff up there making it happen. And they really take pride in it. They want to put the best product forward for all of our guests, all of our property owners, all of our club members, everyone. So that's what they live by every day.
Gary, can you comment just a little on how important man-made snow is to get on the base of
right.
the slopes?
Yeah, and everybody knows. So our where we calculate those weather data is above Spruce Saddle. It's like at 10,500 feet. Right here, we're at 7,400 feet. So, yes, we got 107 inches at 10,500 feet, but at the bottom of Arrowhead, we probably only got 30 inches of snow. So we need that man-made snow to mix in with the natural to get us enough base so we can ski till April, this year, 7th,
yeah.
here in Arrowhead. So we want to have a great spring break. We want to have enough snow so everybody can enjoy it. And that's why we need to make that snow. But if we can ski a little bit on natural, we will. And then mix it up and make snow after the holidays.
Any other questions, Nadia and Gary? Great.
Thank you.
Guys,
thank you.
As always, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stay.
Thank you.
For as long as you and your daughter want. I'm going to turn it over to Tim Gross, our treasurer, to talk about the financial report.
All right. I'll just stand right here so I don't have to ask anybody to move. So first of all, before I get into the financials, I want to echo what George said. I've worked very closely over the last year with Jerry and with Aaron McCauley and with Carol, and if you guys support, it's just awesome. So, I really appreciate that. And as I was getting into this, I wasn't sure what I was getting into. So you were a big help, Carol, as always. Great support. Erin's not here, but she does that. That's great. I think.
I think everybody's pretty aware of the fact that our two major revenue sources are our homeowner assessment fees and our real estate transfer assessment fees. We had a really good year in Arrowhead this year. Good sales. Sales were strong as we hit the end of November. We're at about $1.5 million in RITA, and that is about $400,000 over our year-to-date budget. Now, that's a little different than what you'll see in your package because these packages were put together, the summary page, back with October financials. And at that time, we could see that it looked like we were going to have a good fourth quarter, but a lot of that had not come in, so we were forecasting at budget. So what I'm reporting to you right now is actual. We will see a few more in December, so we should end up the year somewhere around $425,000 or so over budget. I'll come back to that. Expense-wise, there were some puts and takes. I'm not going to go into all of those. They're in your packet. If you have some questions, certainly I'll take those specifically. But they offset one another for the most part. Had a few challenges during the year, but we were able to work through those. You know, the net is that at the end of the year, we're going to come out with an over $500,000 surplus to the budget. So, and I'll come back to that as well. We're going to leave that in the operating fund for right now. I mean, we all know that we're coming into an election year. We've got a lot of kind of more global economic unrest, I think, that could affect us in that it could slow down some of this sales rate, positive sales trends we've seen that fuels our RITA. And so we're gonna let that ride in the operating fund for about the first half of the year. And we should have a pretty good idea by then what the trends are going to be, what the year is looking at. And at that point, we can decide, number one, do we need to use those funds for a hedge against maybe a downward trend? Or number two, do we want to take that and invest it and earmark some of those funds for some specific improvements, things that Jerry and Randy are going to talk about here in a little bit. So that's what we're doing as far as the surplus goes. So let me move on to 2020. 2020. So back to our revenue sources. We trued up residential units. We're going to 731 units from 729. We've had some construction. So that'll give us a small uptick in revenue. We've chosen to hold RITA flat this year against the 2019 budget. And again, just kind of taking that conservative outlook. Much rather be in a position where we've got a surplus as we hit mid-year, you know, as opposed to scrambling to try to figure out how to pay some bills and do some of the improvements that we've planned. One other note on the revenue side, you'll see again on your in your packet, we've got $30,000 in there for short-term rental registration fees. I know I bring that up only because we've talked about that a lot over the last 18 months. That number looks about right based on what we've seen in Q4 this year. So just kind of calling your attention to that one. On the expense side, that has also increased. We will see some investment made. Well, first of all, on the host compliance side, host compliance is a company that we've engaged to help us manage our short-term rental program. So we more than cover that with the registration fees. And then the other uptick, and these there are some notes in the margin on your sheets there, but would also be for recreational amenities. And that's really mostly, we've talked about the trails, so we're going to be doing winter maintenance on the Mud Springs Trail, on the U Trail, and also on the golf course trail. We're helping fund that, and I think that was very well received last year. Thanks to CCR for that. So I think that's, capital projects. Jerry, I think you're going to talk about capital projects,
I'll talk
right?
About capital projects.
Budgeted $110,000. From a financial standpoint, we are covering, we're just about flat to budget once we cover operating and our planned capital improvement. So that's a good thing. If we do see an upward trend in Rita again, that'll be great. But if we don't, we think we've got a solid budget. And then lastly, and then I'll sit down and deal with the floor. But lastly, we are going to put as far as an initiative in terms of our focus for this board this year, we're really going to talk about putting a focus on our long-term planning process. Jerry and Aaron have done a good job of taking the finances against what they gleaned from the board discussions and that sort of thing. So we've got a view that I think changes as we go through the years. They've also been able to capture some of the obligations that we've got, long-term obligations. What we'd like to do is more tightly couple that to our strategic planning initiatives, and frankly, to ensure that when we get to either one of those obligations or to some of these projects that we want to do, that will be properly funded. And once this board moves on and the new board comes in next year, they'll be able to pick those up, and we won't miss a beat. So that's going to be one of our initiatives to focus on.
Yeah. Are there any questions, Tim? We're going to take those now rather than wait till the end. Any questions about the budget of the finance? As Meg noted, the budgets are deemed ratified for next year unless there's a specific motion to disapprove the budget. Do I hear one? Thank you very much. We'll move right along. Thank you, Tim. Great report. I'm going to turn the floor over to Bob Schaefer, the president of Arrowhead Metro District. If you would, we're going to hold any questions you have for Bob until after we finish the community update. So we're going to move those pretty quickly along. So Bob, you want the floor?
Yeah, thanks. First of all, good evening to everybody, and thanks for attending. As Randy mentioned, my name's Bob Schaefer. I serve as the chair of the Metro Board. What I want to do, I'll give you a little bit of background of the Metro Board, because I think the community sometimes gets confused between what the Metro District does and what ABA does. But one thing I will say is over the past few years, we've tried to operate, very well together and collaborate on a lot of initiatives that you may not even see. But we have a lot of communication and, we're both supported by great boards. So, we have a five-member board that consists of Tom Swoboda, Vince Riggio, Tom Howard, Bill Rowe, and myself. The board is supported by Jerry Hensel of Vail Resorts, and Jerry does a great job on managing our service operations. So the snow plowing, the shuttle buses, et cetera, are managed by a management agreement that we have with Vail Resorts. And Jerry attends every one of our board meetings, and he's got a lot of contact within the community, which is great. We also contract services with a CPA firm by the name of Marchetti and Weaver, and they manage all of our financial reporting and have done so for a number of years. And they also act, as kind of a consulting group to us, a management consulting group. I'll talk about it in a minute, but they do a lot of the background work on things like a new bond refinancing. And Ken Marchetti, who is the principal of the firm, has been managing metro districts for 25 years, so we feel really good about that. So the metro district is called a quasi-municipal corporation, a political subdivision of the state of Colorado, and was actually organized in 1981 here. And the reason it was organized was really for the capital that went into the build-out of Arrowhead and a lot of Arrowhead. We set the mill rate that you see on your tax bill within a number that's agreed on by the electors. And we set it at, and it amounts to about 25% of your total mill rate. So when you, 25% of your total Eagle County mill rate. So when you look at your tax bill, there's a line that says Arrowhead Metro District, and that's about 25% of what you pay in real estate taxes on an annual basis. And what those taxes are used for is our operating and capital expenses, as well as debt repayment. I'll explain that a little bit more in a minute. And the services, again, that we contract through Vail include road maintenance and repair, snowplow services, and our shuttle transportation buses. So, you know, we have a very strict edict on what we can actually do by the government. So that's a little bit of a background of what we do. In 2019, kind of accomplishments, we had solid financial results. We made our budget for the year. We're looked at, as our audit firm would call us, it's a group called McMahon and Associates. They're over in Avon, as a best-in-class metro district for what they deal with and know about in the state of Colorado. We paid down another $785,000 in debt. We maintained our cash reserve of $2 million. And then just recently, we refinanced, like I mentioned, with the help of Marchetti doing a lot of the legwork, a $2 million bond that will save us $250,000 by the end of 2032. And the other interesting thing about that is that's our first step in making all our roads private roads in Arrowhead. They're currently public roads. And the rationale for that was when we originally did these municipal bonds, we did them as non-taxable bonds because the interest rates were so much higher back in, you know, the 80s, 90s. So we are now making them taxable bonds, which means we can control the road. And who knows what that's for in the future, but it's nice to know what you're paying for our hours, I think. We also, Bill Rowe, our new member on the board this year that I mentioned, he rewrote our district operating procedures, making sure that we have a clear understanding of exactly what we do, as I mentioned before. So, you know, he put in a lot of work doing that. And then, as many of you know, the board proposed and the qualified electors in Arrowhead passed a 5% local sales tax within Arrowhead. So our plans for 2020 then is, one is the implementation of this local sales tax. We looked at Bachelor Gulch, Red Sky. You know, obviously Beaver Creek has a ton of a tax, and we thought that was the best way for us to operate and ensure that our revenues come through going forward, and we can do the things we need to do in the community. So as a result, there's a couple things we're going to do. We're going to reduce the mill rate, and we sent a letter out on this a couple weeks ago, from 18.5 to 17 immediately. And, you know, our revenue really won't start coming into July, but we told, you know, the voters and we told the community we were going to reduce the mill rate, and that's what we're doing. And then our plan, and again, this depends on how we see the revenue come in, will be to take that down to 14 mills in the year 2022, thus giving you all a 25% reduction in your real estate taxes out of that Arrowhead mill rate and tax rate. So we'll do that. And what we forecasted is over 60% of the tax revenue will come from outside Arrowhead, and the owners and residents will realize 80% of the benefit in lower tax rates here. So that's number one. The second thing that we are doing, and this really worked, this is one of these collaborative items that we worked on with AVA for, is we've initiated evening shuttle service in the winter up to Beaver Creek. And we think that's a great benefit for, you know, the community. We've never had it. And so hopefully you saw the letter on it, you've got the schedule, but that started on December 12th. Friday, Saturday, except for the Christmas holiday beginning tonight for 2 weeks. That'll be every night. And it runs till 10:45 and would actually drop you off in certain places, like if you want to go to Ralph's Mountain Grill, for example. So we're doing that, and we'll also maintain the summer service that we started last year to Bravo, and also over to Vail and Beaver Creek for July 4th, and up to Beaver Creek for Oktoberfest. I mean, we had a lot of riders that took advantage of that. And then we'll continue the Vail shuttle service that we do on Tuesday. That'll start January 7th, and that'll go every week to through March 31st. So it's on Tuesdays. We'll begin repaving. We took a couple year hiatus on repaving operations, and that was largely due to accelerating some of it back in 2016-17 when oil prices went down. So we took advantage of that, and we actually, you know, we extended the money and our capital involved in paving. So we'll do the parking lot in 2020, and then in 2021 we'll do Cresta Road from Mud Springs all the way up. So the expenditures on that is over $600,000 for those two projects. So, but we feel very good about, you know, the financial viability to do that. So we're in pretty good shape, and we've got a repaving plan over the next 2 to 10 years that we'll work with, and so we'll start the repaving again. And then we'll plan to pay down another $800,000 in debt next year, and we're on track to retire all of our debt by 2032. So we still got some time, but you know, we're on track, and we're paying our bills, both debt and interest. So that's it. Now I'm happy to answer questions.
Bob, thank you. I want to echo comments of the collaboration aspect between the Metro District and the ABA Board. It's extraordinary. And I think what's important for the community is that it's not just a current year, what's the issue on the table, problem we need to solve today. It also rolls into our long-term strategic thinking and long-term projects and long-term investments in the community. So, Bob, thanks for your leadership on that. Second, So that you leave here with more than one little known fact. All attempts was a little known fact. The other little known fact is the Arrowhead Metro District, through some diligence and effort, discovered that that cabin is actually in the Arrowhead Metro District. And so they are paying a very nice, handsome contribution in our sales tax. And the real estate tax. So that's important. Finally, relative to the Metro District, I hope everybody appreciates how significant the transportation services are, not just what we've done in the summer with Bravo and to Vail. We took 375 passengers to Oktoberfest at Beaver Creek on Labor Day, but this evening service is really special to provide our residents a safe way to go to Beaver Creek, have a nice dinner, enjoy an adult beverage or two, and get home safely. So it's a great benefit, and Bob and his rest of the board have been really spectacular. And the final aspect of that is it takes Arrowhead one more step toward meeting all of the amenities and elements that make up the rest of the villages in the valley. So we're making great headway there. I want to comment just on a couple of things that you may have seen in the December 1 newsletter. I'm going to go over those real quickly and briefly, but also talk a little bit in detail about some of those. The first, with regard to short-term rentals, Tim mentioned that's in the budget for next year. We've identified, our host compliance has identified approximately 170 short-term rental properties in Arrowhead. I think that's still a good number, right? And to date, we have 119 that have registered, who've obtained their license. We have others who will get an additional reminder of their obligation to step up. The board has been working on a long-term strategy and activities with regard to the Arrowhead image. We started that this past March with our social media program, and I'll talk about that separately.
but our current thinking and current areas of study and evaluation are around several things. The Arrowhead identity in terms of how we write Arrowhead on our stationery and how it shows up on our collateral material. Looking at the old characterization that was done in the very early 90s. The second is through the ULI report that you guys probably remember, may have participated in some of the focus groups on that in 2016. There were a number of recommendations that came out of that that we've been embracing and adopting and moving forward with. One of those was an improvement in lighting in the Arrowhead community, streets, corners, in the village in particular. So we've begun a study process. Jerry's providing the leadership for that to look at what alternative solutions there might be to add more lighting, to maybe change the structure and look of our lighting, because it's, what you see in Arrowhead today is a 15-year-old design. The last update to the Arrowhead look, if you will, beyond homes, happened in 2004. It's time that we bring it so that it looks great and attractive for those people who are buying homes for the next 10 years. So lighting's an important part of that. Dark sky elements, critical in the design piece. LED application for energy saving is critical in the design piece. The other part of that overall image program, beyond the amenities like transportation and so forth, is taking a look at our landscaping for the community, not individual homeowners, but streets, entryways, and so forth, to make sure they're presenting Arrowhead the way Arrowhead can be presented at its best, so that we look competitive. I think everybody knows when I bought here in 1996, everybody talked about the flowers at the entrance to Arrowhead. Everybody in the valley said, oh my gosh, Arrowhead is so special because of the flowers at the entrance. Well, what's happened since then? Everybody else now wants flowers at their entrance. So our plan and our work is what's the step above that that we have to do to keep Arrowhead beyond what everybody else is offering as the look of their community. I mentioned social media for a moment. I just want to talk a little bit about that. We started that effort in March with Facebook and Instagram. A lot of you guys have been active. I've seen some of your photos. Tim's a big poster of photos on that. You've seen lots of folks on the Ute Trail in our Instagram page. And that whole initiative was designed to expand the awareness of Arrowhead beyond people in Arrowhead. Not just in the valley, by the way, but much, much beyond that. We set a target of 45 to 65 age group. We set specific parameters around income, net worth. And also, we are very heavily focused on cities that have direct flights to Eagle Airport. The net result has actually been pretty spectacular. Through about the middle of December, we have about 450,000 people that we have reached as a result of this. That is, people who have looked at the Arrowhead Facebook site. We're expecting, because of some of the things that we're doing between now and the end of the month of December, that we'll hit that $500,000 touch point for Arrowhead, which is
people.
Yes, that's people. That's extraordinary. And you see the other communities here advertising at the airport, Cordillera and so forth. Cross Creek buys a lot of ads. We think we're actually having a much broader, more significant impact with our social media program than a lot of paper ads that get seen and thrown away. This is something people come back to every day. Like, what changed? What was posting you? What new cute photograph? What new clever posting on Instagram is out there? So we're really excited about that, and you'll continue to see more. And every newsletter that comes out asks you to engage. If you're not engaging, if you're anti-social media, if you are neophyte to social media, like I was up in hell a year ago, then give it a shot. I know Facebook is controversial these days, but it's a special opportunity, and we've touched 500 1,000 people or nearly, who now know about Arrowhead that may not have before. We've also made changes in regard to maintenance of our website. We've engaged a new webmaster. He is a local person. He knows Arrowhead, knows our community. So over time, you're going to see changes to that website. We're not going to do a complete shut everything down and open up something that looks spectacular. We're gradually making modifications so it's easier for you to navigate, easier for you to find the documents that you want to find, and more importantly, easier for people who don't, who are first-time visitors to the website to actually learn more about Arrowhead. It's the, you know, the other leg of the stool, if you will, for our social media program. I've got just a couple more things here. This past year, we changed our communication plan, and I hope you find that you're more informed about what's happening in Arrowhead than you were before. If you remember, we used to do a fall newsletter and a spring newsletter. Now in the summer, we do bi-monthly newsletter. It tells you what's happening for the next 2 weeks throughout the entire community. Everything that's organized or disorganized, our Thursday afternoon clubs, the special barbecues, the ice cream socials, all of those are noted in those newsletters. We hope it's keeping more people engaged. We were thrilled to see 800 people show up for the 4th of July breakfast. Thought that was great. The announcements around the Oktoberfest made a huge impact on getting those 300-something people on Bob's buses and up to Beaver Creek. So we're also, you may note that we post at each of the entrances when we have a special event going on, whether it's the barbecue, the Thursday afternoon club. So there are little signs at each entrance so that remind you, in case you forgot from the newsletter you saw on Sunday, that there's actually something happening Thursday night. There's live music and so forth right here. The guys have already talked about the Youth Trail. It's wonderful. If you haven't tried it, it's a great one. Don't pass it up. And I do want to thank Jerry for his leadership on making that happen, Vail Resorts participation, and our friends at Bachelor Gulch, who also financially contributed to the construction of that trail. That was terrific. We're in intense discussions with very collaborative discussions. I strike the word intense. Don't put that in the middle. Collaborative discussions with Mike sitting back there on a new management agreement for our relationship with Vail Resorts. The current agreement is 20 years old, and we both thought, gee, it's time to take a look at this and see if maybe some of the things that applied then don't apply now. So that's underway. Before I step down here, I just want to introduce our DRC staff and staff members, the staff folks in the back are Sid Schultz and Steve Nussbaum, our hardworking committee members on the DRC, which is a huge amount of work. If you've got one full day a month to give and are interested in what's happening with how new homes are looking at Arrowhead, please sign up. But thanks David Cooper for his leadership, Campbell Fry, Gail Gilfan, Kathy Alto, Chip Spratlin, and Kathy Bennett, who've been actively engaged in that undertaking. Jerry, capital project update. Sure. Want to do that?
Yep. How about that? Thank you. In 19, I'm going to speak to 19 first, then I'll touch on 20. This past year, we made a couple improvements we moved all machine windscreens at the tennis court. We replaced the security vehicle in our security department. Then with the Youth Trail, that was a joint project. It's been a two-year project from starting here at the base, going up to hook into the village, and also doing an offshoot down into hooking in to the down into the skiway at the bottom here. That was a joint effort with Bachelor Gulch Village Association and the ABA, which was awesome, working together on that trail. It was last summer and this all of this summer to complete that. It's been a whole lot like you've heard here, it's just been fabulous. Last year, or this past year, we brought on a lighting consultant, Innovative Lighting, out of Denver, to come up and to look at our community, look at dark spots, light spots, fixtures, things of that nature. We got into the plan with them. We're going forward now into 20 to look at implementation. This lighting project involves four entities. It's got the Arrowhead and Bell Association, the Arrowhead Metro District, the Village and Arrowhead Association, and Bell Resorts. All have lights in our community here that we have to work with all four of these different groups to make a plan to go forward. This is a very big project going forward. I mean, we have about 200 lighting fixtures in Arrowhead, and we're in the phase now of putting some committees together to start to try to look at the type of fixture we want to go with, the color of light we want to go with, and things of that nature, and to add some light in, to remove some light in certain areas, so, which is a big project, and it's just, you know, it's one of these things that we're talking about with ABA and AEMD working together. It's huge. Going forward into 20, obviously this lighting project, we are putting dollars in this year's budget as some of the other communities, the other organizations have put money in also, so we can start to make some of these implementations of the lighting in our community. Also, in a joint project, we're putting we've hired some engineers. We are looking with between ABA and AMD at a crossing on Highway 6. This is something that's very needed in our community. Get across Highway 6, we know it, who goes over to the bike path, it's a challenge, and it seems like you're taking your life in your hands at times up there. So we are bringing a couple different engineering firms on. We've been working with the state and the county over that to look at different crossings, whether it's bridges, tunnels, roundabouts, crosswalks, things of that nature. So more to come on that to go forward, but that's a really exciting project that both ABA and AMD are going together on to look at. We've got trail money in. Again, we haven't identified a trail yet as now. We are kind of looking at possibly bringing the Mud Springs Trail down the creek. So we go across the guardrail, come down the creek into the seaway to take people off the road. That's something that we are kind of looking at. We are looking at a few things over here on the Western Hillside also. We are going to be bringing... Randy had mentioned about our landscape, we feel that it's getting a little tired also, so we're bringing Cirrus on in the spring. We're going to do a little, they're going to do some consulting for us to look at what we are doing, whether we need to change, add, remove, things of that nature. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of great things in it. Working for the board has been really good. I mean, it's been very energetic. Awesome, and it's cool. But these guys, it's been really good. The board has been very active for you guys, and I think the things they've been doing is just awesome.
Is that the end?
That is the end.
No. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky to have Jerry.
Got a hand on my hand.
We're going to ask questions in a couple, in just 1 minute.
Okay.
We're almost there. Before we take questions, I do have to announce our 2020 nominating committee chair is Diane Lusbrock. If you have any interest in serving on the board, please reach out to Diane. Secondly, if you have any interest and want to engage in the future of Arrowhead, want to serve on a committee of the board, contact any board member and let them know about that. So we're now going to take questions. I ask that you follow the lead of George Coleman. Identify yourself, describe, indicate where you live, and ask your questions. We will get to the folks on the phone after we finish with all the questions of those here in the room. You, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Rob DeLuca.
Hold on,
Rob DeLuca, I live in the Lariat building here in the Village Townhomes Phase 2. Jerry and
we got so everybody here if you don't mind.
Oh, okay, yeah. Jerry and I have talked on a number of occasions, but there are three areas I wanted to make some suggestions. I know for years now, for about 2 or 3 years, when you tore out the large trees in the center island at the entrance to Arrowhead, nothing was ever really replaced except a little bit of planting, and the only direction you can even see that it's Arrowhead is if you're traveling west on Highway 6, and I really think some attention needs to be put back into centralizing the marking of Arrowhead and putting some sort of a presentation in a combination with both landscaping and whatever it takes to give it a little more presence. That's one thing. Second thing, last year we talked, there's a real overgrowth of trees in the core of the village. We live in the core of the village. You can no longer, when we came here in 98, we had beautiful views from the pool up to the mountain. You can't even see the mountain. You can't even read the clock. You can't see anything but that picture. And they were put in originally because they wanted to have a mature look to the area, to the development. Because we were here, we were original owners in our building. We know what the considerations were. But Jerry has done some to help mitigate. Last year was a real issue because of all the fires. So, I don't mean this summer, I mean the previous summer. And there were literally branches all over the roof. And so some of that's been done, but there's a lot more that needs to be done. So both for view corridors as well as for safety, and also to reveal the architecture. The architecture is getting buried in the trees. Thirdly, in the lighting, I would hope that we don't use what used to be with the LEDs, those gray, blue, or gray, white. They're very dead lights. They have colors now in LEDs. If you look at the Beaver Creek, if you look at, you're using warm tones of lighting, which are a lot more inviting. And not only does lighting need to be put in for safety, but in most resort areas, they use lighting very cleverly as uplighting on buildings, on large trees, to create an environment at night. It doesn't all go black. So I would like all those considerations.
Okay, let me repeat. Before, let's say this, but I'm going to make 3 points, and now you end up making 4 points.
Okay.
But that's cool. So the first one was make sure we focus on the interest of Arrowhead as a part of the overall look for Arrowhead, whether it's signage or whether it's trees or what that interest looks like.
Well, you can only read Arrowhead traveling west.
We know. We know there's only one sign there, and I'm going to be straight. We're not going to fix that within the next year or two until we figure out what the solution is for Highway 6. Because we don't want to spend a lot of money on a sign and then realize the road's different at our entrance as a result of the Highway 6 crossing. The second point was with regard to the village and other areas of the community who've become overgrown with trees. And I appreciate that. I did the same thing when I built my house. I said, add more trees so it looks like I live in the mountain. And now I can't see anything anywhere. So the good news is Sid and Steve and their team and the DRC have a very, is it appropriate to say, liberal approach to tree removal.
Proactive
approach to tree removal. And
strongly by the ABA board.
Yes. Correct. And keeping with Jerry's comment with regard to the landscape review, the village will be a part of that process. So removing trees that have obstructed the views of people from your condos, whether it's to the pool or from the pool up the mountain, to make it cooler and more interesting. And so the architecture is visible. Did I get all your points? The last one was the lighting. Make sure you pick a good color. And as Jerry said, the folks that the board has been working with that have been in this, they've done work in Beaver Creek. So if you like sort of the look that those lighting have, a little warmer, and there have been discussions around how to highlight some of the structures, particularly the front entrance building. I will tell you, they tend more toward downlighting than uplighting as their solution.
Yeah, well, some uplighting, if you look at the high-end resorts around the country and overseas, usually uplighting is used strategically both on some of the large streets as well as the side of the building.
Yeah.
Not everything.
Right.
I mean, layering.
Right. Well, take your point. You got that?
Yep.
Okay. Next question. Okay.
Excuse me. My name is Fred Hess. I'm a newbie over at on River Dance Road. Just bought last month. So got all my money. So, you mentioned that we're going from municipal roads to private roads. I'm not sure what that means for the residents of Arrowhead.
What does it mean to go from public roads to private roads?
Well, I mean, we could at some point restrict access if we felt like it was the right thing to do. You know, and part of that is we've had, you know, from up Cresta Road, we've had a lot of discussions on the number of bikers that come into the community and safety issues on Cresta Road. So we've tried to address that with signage, you know, on the road itself. So that's one of them. Again, we don't want to become a, we want to be more inclusive versus exclusive, but that could be something that we could potentially restrict. And the next, I should have mentioned, the next bonds that we refinance will be 2021, and that will give our roads full private roads. Yep.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other questions here? Operator on the phone, do we have questions from those on the phone?
If you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press the star and one keys on your touchtone telephone keypad. Keep in mind you may remove yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, to ask a question today, please press the star and one keys on your touchtone telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. There are no questions on the phone line at this time.
With that, we'll adjourn our meeting. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. Have a great New Year. We look forward to seeing you guys over the next 12 months.